Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a rainy Monday here in Southern California. Happy President's Day to everyone. Hopefully you have the day off. We do not. We're just going to do a little work here. It's not too bad. Of course, we're talking about USC football here on the Peristyle Podcast, and we're going to talk with the coach, Harvey Hyde. Follow him on Twitter at Coach Harvey Hyde, or go to his website, harveyhyde.com, for all of his content. If you have questions or comments for the show, you can email us, podcast@uscfootball.com, or you can call or text us at 424-254-9141. We got a voicemail for you a little bit later on in the show. We had one voicemail that was almost 3 minutes long. Won't be able to play that, but try to leave us a 1 minute voicemail or so. That's great. And we'd love to play it on the air. And if you have the Apple Podcasting app, you can follow us and leave us a 5-star rating there with a review. Talk about your comments on the show, feedback, suggestions, whatever you got. We would love to hear from you. It does help to grow the show. All right, Coach, welcome in. How are you doing today, sir?
Well, I tell you what, I got the rainy day game plan in today. And we'll find a way to win. And the balls are dry. So we got a chance, Ryan. But again, I want to say happy President's Day weekend to everyone. And I'm ready to get going.
I'm ready to get going too, Coach. And we wanted to talk, you know, last week, USC had a press conference on campus for the new defensive coaching staff. So we got to hear from four new members of the staff. Sean Nua, we did not hear from, who's the one defensive staff member that was retained, defensive line coach, defensive end coach, Sean Nua. But we got to hear from the other four guys and also head coach Lincoln Riley. We did a tunnel vision show a couple hours after the press conference with Chris Trevino and Connor Morissette were both there. But we wanted to get Coach Harvey Hyde's thoughts about what we heard from the new defensive staff. Obviously, the last 2 years, USC's defense has been subpar, and people were questioning if Lincoln Riley was taking defense seriously. But if you saw any of those press conferences, we put a lot of those videos or all the videos up on our YouTube channel over youtube.com/InsideTroy if you want to check them out. But it looked like, from my point of view, Coach, that they are taking defense more seriously now maybe than they were the last couple of years. But overall, Coach, we wanted to kind of get your thoughts so we can kind of break it down by the different positions. But overall, what were your thoughts on this defensive coach press conference?
Well, I'd first of all like to just start off with my general opinion of the press conference itself. First of all, I thought it was the best press conference they've ever had there, excuse me, since Lincoln Riley's been there. It was done where coaches had a chance to explain themselves, their philosophy, why they came to USC. They gave them at least a half hour each, when normally that's probably the longest press conference that they've had at USC as far as for the football program since Lincoln Riley's been there. I mean, those four coaches took up as much time as Lincoln Riley would in an entire season. So I think they really gave you the ample time as far as the sports information department of sharing the love with the new coaches at USC as far as on the defensive side of the football. And again, I think it showed you a lot of things as far as what I see in a football coach and what others see in a football coach. You might have a different opinion, but I was very impressed with the knowledge. I was very impressed with the stories they said and why they came to USC. I was impressed with the honesty of what they were saying as far as the potential, the tradition, and what they thought of the football program at USC. The defensive coordinator, I think Lynn, did a tremendous job of explaining how he wanted to teach. You learn to teach the basics. You learn to do it the easy way first, and then you do it another way. But you got to learn how to play the game and play it correctly. I love the way the linebacker coach, the ex-head football coach in North Dakota State, explain what he's looking for in linebackers as far as their size, their length, their speed, the type of athlete that they want playing at those type of positions. It just to me, and then when I heard Henderson talk about his background, where he started, how he got his start in life, which wasn't an easy start, how he cared about his sisters and brothers that he took care of, and why he came to USC from the Rams, and honestly said, because it will benefit me in the long run as far as getting another position. Nobody was kidding anybody. It was all truthful. It was all about life. It was all about when you wear a USC uniform, you wear it for what it stands for, the way the colors, the way it, what it's, where it's supposed to be. The tradition of USC, which I've heard each one of them mention more probably in that press conference, and I've heard tradition talked about by any of the coaches forever. And it, to me, it was enlightening to hear four people, the secondary coach included, talk about their players, talk about their philosophy, talk about why they came to SC, and what they're going to try to accomplish while they're at USC. If anything, I'll tell you, it's not overqualified, but it certainly is a qualified group of defensive people on the defensive side of the football. And if nothing else, yes, Coach Lincoln Riley, you did make a statement here on having the type of people who should have been there a long time ago, and somehow someone has helped you notice that you needed help on defense. And if these guys can do what they say they can do with the type of players it takes to get it done, I think you have four good quality guys.
I would agree with you, Coach. It was an impressive showing. And, you know, winning a press conference is a lot easier than actually executing. It's like campaign promises or whatever. But sometimes you listen to a press conference or you hear someone's philosophy and you're just from the very beginning, you're like, yeah, I don't think that's going to work. And we've seen that at USC quite a bit. Just when you're hiring people that just seem to be square pegs and round holes. If you remember when, you know, Clay Helton brings in Graham Harrell. They're going to run some kind of air raid, but then they bring in Tim Drevno to be the offensive line coach who never coached in an air raid. Like, things like that, you're like, okay, that from the very beginning, you're like, it just doesn't seem like that's going to work. I didn't get that impression from any of this. It just seemed like what everyone said, how it was stated, what Lincoln Riley set it up with, that you've made smart decisions. And, you know, Riley said that they had like a list of seven candidates that they were the top of their list, and they end up getting four of them. But it seems like the plan makes sense. The people they brought in to execute the plan makes sense. They all seem to be on the same page. And I guess that's what you want. And like you said, they should have been this way before, but it's kind of refreshing to see that it looks like the defense is going to be going in the right place with this group of guys.
Yes, absolutely, Ryan. And they weren't afraid to talk about it. They weren't afraid to talk about what they plan on doing and how they plan on teaching it, and no more poor me's, all of this type of thing. It's going to be a team defense. And of course, the defensive coordinator is in charge, and all of them, as they said, will give their input on how they will develop this defense to fit the personnel. And I think that's the best thing that I could hear. It's not like, this is our defense, we're going to run it, now let's see if we have anybody that can run it. To me, I got the feeling of, hey, let's develop a defense that we have the players that will fit it. And as recruiting goes along, we'll try to recruit more towards our style of schemes that we want to run, but let's don't force something that we can't do. And I got that impression very much from them, as far as them, I think, for the short period of time they've been together, seem united. They talked about they've all been out recruiting hard. You heard Lynn even talk about his shortcomings. Have you ever heard of a defensive coordinator standing up and admitting, saying, you know, I'm going to rely on these coaches a lot, my assistant coaches here on the defensive side of the football, because I've been evaluating college talent my whole life, coming out of college. And in recruiting, I've got to look at players coming out of high school to best demonstrate what I can forecast for them to be on the college level. So it's not a I know everything type of thing. It's how we're going to use each other's strengths to make our defense a better place. And also, I think I mentioned this, but when you hear Henderson's story on how he got where he was, there isn't anybody on that team that's going to say, as far as I think, on the defensive side of the football, poor me. Because this guy came up through the ranks of having to do it his way, the hard way, and I think that, too, no one can say poor me to him because he's done it all.
Yeah, that was a really inspiring kind of story. You mentioned the poor me kind of thing. Do you want to kind of go into that a little bit? Like, what do you kind of mean by, like, it's not like people are not going to, like, sulk if they don't get a rotation or play as much playing time as they want? Is that kind of what you're referring to? Or?
Well, both. As far as, you know, I haven't been able to have all the things, or I've come up the tough way. Well, yeah, Henderson explains to you what the tough way is, as far as not having what others have had and being happy with what he has and how proud that he's been where he is, and use the networking and working hard to get what he's received from the game of football. And the poor me thing, as far as they're going to play the best players. It isn't going to be, I didn't get my turns. You're not going to get any turns unless you go out there on the field the way I understood it and show us that you deserve to be on the field, not just because you were five-star recruit that took off your hat and committed to USC. You're going to have to prove on this level that you deserve to be on the field. And I think that's a message they try to pass on. And I don't know how many of the players were able to see that press conference, but I tell you, I think it's something that should be shown to them. And I really enjoyed this too, Ryan. And you might agree and you might not. I love hearing them talk where someone didn't say one more question. They held the floor. They held the podium. All the people listening were interested and asked sensible, good questions and got good answers. It wasn't like somebody was sort of beating around the bush or trying to answer them like a politician. I think they really did speak from the heart when they talked about the defensive part of the football at USC, the tradition of USC, what it meant to them to be a part of the staff at USC. It was real.
Now, I would agree with you, Coach. It did seem very real. They, you know, allotted, like you mentioned, a half hour of time for everyone. And we got to hear from, you know, Lincoln Riley to start and Danton Lynn, you know, and the defensive coordinator. Riley kind of clarified some things that, you know, yes, Eric Henderson has a co-defensive coordinator title, but Danton Lynn is running the defense, you know, coming over a very successful season at UCLA. So that was good. You get to hear from Eric Henderson, like you mentioned a few times, with the Rams, Matt Entz, the linebacker coach, who was former head coach, has won national championships at the FCS level. Pretty impressive there. And then Doug Belk, who was impressive too, coaching the secondary, coming over as Houston's defensive coordinator. So, yeah, it seems like it's a group of certainly qualified, potentially overqualified guys. And I think if anyone felt that Lincoln Riley was really only caring about offense, like I guess that just wasn't the impression I got after watching all these guys.
You're right. And another thing that I heard, I can't remember who it was. I think it was a linebacker coach say, and it's not just our goal to make the defense better. It's our goal to make the offense better by working against each other to put each other in a difficult situation where we both get better. And it's good to hear that, where they're both aiming or trying to improve both sides of the football at the same time, not just one side of the football. And we're not an offensive team or a defensive team. We're a football team. The only thing I missed from that press conference was the discussion of the special teams again. That was not addressed. So going into spring practice, we really don't know unless it's going to be the same way it was, which I hope there's some type of change on the way they run that, but who knows until we find out. And really not much from Coach Lincoln Riley on spring practice. What's going to happen? The dates of spring practice. Maybe I know that from the Sports Information Office, the practices again will be closed to the media, but I hope it's open to some of the public, to the kids that can come and see some of these great players play and coaches coach. Because if you're going to put a fence around Southern California, kids have got to become acquainted now with USC and want to be a Trojan by being there at a young age and seeing the Trojans practice and grow up with the Trojan sword and so on. So I'd like to see that addressed, but of course that's a head coach's decision, because I've always looked at what can you do in the spring that you can keep as a secret. There's no secrets in football. Football is a game. You've got to coach it. You got to eliminate mistakes. There's only so much you can do. And the way you develop your tradition and bring it all back is by having people attend your practices as they used to do during the glory years.
Coach, yeah, with the – I'm sorry, I was like checking our voicemails and stuff here. It's the spring practice schedule wasn't released, and I don't know if it's going to be – close to the media. We know the spring game is going to be on April 20th, and that will be open to the public. And then spring practice is supposed to start on Tuesday, March 19th. From what I've been told, they didn't announce this, but from what I've been told, it'll be very similar format to what we've seen in the past, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. The week of March 10th, March 11th is USC spring break, if I'm not mistaken. So it looks like what they'll do is come in the week of March 19th and have five straight weeks of practice, two in March and then three in April. And then everything will end on April 20th for the spring game. So that's sort of the plan now. I don't know. They didn't give us the details. Maybe you heard something I haven't heard yet, but as far as what kind of, you know, usually we have some sort of access. In the years past, it's been Tuesdays and Thursdays where we could talk to players and stuff, and then Saturdays would be potentially closed and maybe a Lincoln Riley Zoom or something afterwards. But we haven't got the clarification of that yet. But we know when it starts, and we know when it's ending on April 20th, and that will be open to the public for the spring game.
Yes, definitely. It'll be open as it did, and they said something about if you're a season ticket holder, you're going to get in free to the spring game and so on. I was talking and referring to the practices during the week as far as opening those up to the public, as far as being able to go in and watch practices. And, you know, I write a column for a local newspaper, and I put in there, tell me to leave. Tell the media to leave. But let the high school kids and let the Pop Warner League kids and let the coaches and parents in there, as far as observing and becoming a Trojan fan like it used to be. Not that the Trojans don't have great fans, but I think it's great to share the love with these kids so that someday they want to grow up and be a football player. They want to grow up and be a Trojan, or they want to grow up and be like one of their idols who they watch out there. I remember where Keyshawn Johnson used to run around the field as a kid there, ride his bike over and go to practice when he was a kid. I mean, these are the things that I'd like to see USC stand up for, as far as allowing these type of things to happen with a great traditional football program. You're not game planning in the spring, you're teaching in the spring. And young people get to see what it is to be a part of a college education and also the opportunities of being on a great football program.
For sure, Coach. All right. Well, so Lincoln Riley, like I mentioned, went first. You kind of talked a lot about what Danton Lynn, the defensive coordinator, had said. You know, I do like the defense fitting the personnel. He talked about some of his shortcomings. I mean, only being in college for 1 year, most of his time in the NFL level. Anything else kind of stand out to you from what Danton Lynn said at the press conference, Coach?
No, except they're going to teach. And we're not going to teach too much, too fast, too early, too fast. We're going to let them learn before we throw it all at them. We're not going to throw it all at them at one time. We'll probably have the rest of our defensive stuff in the fall. We want to learn how to play the basics the right way, how to tackle, how to not just drag a guy down. They addressed all that on how you make contact the line of scrimmage, and rather than tackling, you're grabbing or trying to strip the football. I think they notice all the things that need to be worked on. And it was good to hear someone talk about that and not be afraid to talk about it. Obviously, they said some good things. They said that also they were very happy at what they saw as far as in the bowl game, where the kids that, a lot of kids that didn't have a chance to play a lot of football during the regular season, how well and how hard they played as far as during that game. And they were proud of the effort those kids made. And I think it really did help the Trojan football program with that type of effort. I think they were not surprised, but I thought they were happy about those kids playing that hard. A lot of kids that hadn't played before. So they see the potential, and they know exactly what needs to go on. And these guys have been around football all their life, so they know what the shortcomings probably are in the personnel department. They know what the pluses are in the personnel area, and they're going to have to adjust to a little bit of everything, I think, to make it happen. It's impossible to overnight change that whole defensive setup. But then they also talked about personnel a little bit, but not really didn't use a lot of names at all.
The position coaches, I know you mentioned a few things about Eric Henderson and like his kind of story and the hard road that he had to get to get where he is today. Matt Entz, like, you know, being a head coach at the FCS level last year. I mean, he did talk about wanting to become a head coach, and the big knock was you haven't coached at the FBS level, so here's an opportunity there. Doug Belk, too, coming in over from Houston. Anything kind of stand out from what Doug Belk had to say, now coaching the secondary for USC?
Well, I think he's got the experience and he knows what the secondary play is all about. I think he's got more experience as far as coaching the secondary than the past secondary coaches have had. He's been a coordinator. He knows what's going on in the entire scheme. I don't believe any of the other secondary coaches that coach at SC over the last several years have ever been a defensive coordinator. One was elevated to the head football coaching position, which I don't know was good or bad for the young man, but he's now got a great position at Georgia. I think there is more experience. I think he's been through more, say, game situations, and I think that the player, he's not a youngster coaching. He's young, but yet he's had a lot of great experience, and I think in the secondary, that's one of the hardest positions to coach because when you make a mistake, the whole world sees it. And I think you've got to make sure that that you eliminate errors and play good football. Yet, you know, when you have a penalty, it's a pass interference, and everybody can judge the call. And why did he do that? Or if you break an assignment, boy, they blew that coverage, and all of that. So you have to really teach the basics and know what you do. And I think they got a good hire there. I couldn't hear all of his press conference that clearly, but I think overall on the defensive side of the staff, they have more experience. They've had coaches before that they have experience, but I think just a good combination of where you're broken up, everybody who knows everybody, and the blah blah blah, and you got some people working together now that are there for a purpose and a reason, not there just for a job. But they all have goals why they came to SC. And if any of them are going to reach their goals, they got to get what? W's. Because if you don't get W's, you don't reach any of your goals. I'm telling you, you don't become a head football coach. You don't become a coordinator. You don't become anything. So I think that's each one of them, as you mentioned their goals. They have goals why they came to USC. And I think this is good because none of them will reach it. Unless the team wins. And I think this puts a lot of pressure on everybody.
I agree with you there, Coach. Why don't we do this? Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, do a little more analysis, and answer a few questions. So back in a minute, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you looking to advertise a campaign, short film, a public service announcement, an important message? Look no further than Regency Outdoor. We have been around since 1974 and have the greatest locations in Southern California for your advertising goals. Our creative billboards are sure to catch everyone's attention. Make an impact anywhere and everywhere in Southern California. To get started and for more information, call 310-657-8883 or visit RegencyOutdoor.com. Regency makes it easier than ever to get your message everywhere in Southern California.
All righty, we're back here on the Peristyle podcast. We got Coach Hyde talking about what he liked from the press conference from last week where USC introduced the new defensive coaching staff. We didn't hear from Lincoln Riley after the traditional signing day, so this was sort of our opportunity to kind of get an update from him, what's been going on, making all these hires and moving this defense going forward. I think we're both more optimistic, Coach, about the defensive unit for the USC heading into Big Ten play. So I wanted to kind of get your thoughts of what are your expectations now for this defense? Just knowing what, the personnel can change a little bit in the next portal period and all of that. Guys could still leave. So the rosters are always in flux, but just with the staff that's put together, Coach, have your expectations changed or what are they?
Well, I think they'll be fundamentally stronger, better. I think the kids will understand the schemes better. I hate to say negative things about past coaches, but I think they'll be better coached. They understand what they need to do. I think playing in big-time football and big-time atmospheres. I think the kids will learn to like these coaches because these coaches will be teaching them and not just expecting them to perform. And I think that's part of what a teacher is and a coach is you can't ask somebody to do it unless they know exactly what they're supposed to do so they can do it full speed. So I think they're talking at a level that I can understand, and I think that's the level you have to talk when you're talking to a football player. You can't assume that a young man understands everything you're saying. Sometimes you need to walk through things many, many times. And once that young man understands what his assignment is, he can certainly perform it better because he knows that it's simple. This is what we got to do. And also, I was aware, too, of how they knew the personnel. Like one of the coaches, I can't remember who it was, says Gentry, the linebacker, that they need to get him up to about 220 pounds or whatever, because he felt he was a little light for his position. And I'm anxious to see if they play him at a different spot than what the past defensive staff played him at. But he reminds me more of it, as I always told you, as a rush guy, outside end, tall, quick, long arms, bring him across the line of scrimmage, keep everybody to the inside of you. And I think he'd be a great position there rather than having him play on the line of scrimmage, cover the pass, do this, do that, take a motion guy. I mean, you start to think too much and you're not playing football. So I'd like to see them utilize the athletic ability of these players and put them in a position where they can perform. And I think this is one thing they're going to try to find out in the spring the best they can and try to get the best 11 football players in the right positions for their opening game. And believe me, LSU is not going to be an easy game to play, but it'll be challenging. You'll be ready to play. And it'll be really everybody, I think, will be waiting to see exactly what the outcome might be. You might not ask me this question, but I'm going to answer this question. One thing I got from the press conference, correct me if I'm wrong, is that Lincoln Riley said that the quarterback is going to be an open competition. No one has that position. It's going to be open competition between him and the new kid that transferred in from UNLV. I don't know if I'd have said that. To me, I don't know how a guy can qualify than what he did in the Hollywood Bowl. Miller Moss better than anybody. Six touchdown passes. They were 14-point underdog or whatever. They beat Louisville. Kids played their tails off. To me, that's the greatest audition as far as who my number one quarterback is anywhere. And to me, I don't know if he should be put in a position where he has to compete for his position. Now, this is just me. To me, if you want to form leadership around a quarterback where he takes command in the spring, players follow his lead. You could see they were so excited when they were playing with him and scoring and he was into the game, then I think he deserves to be number one. I mean, just think, I don't know what more you have to do. So I was sort of surprised when he said it'll be open competition at quarterback. Did I hear that correctly, Ryan?
Yeah. So he did talk about, you know, there was talk during the, or after the early signing period press conference that they could potentially bring in two quarterbacks, like a younger quarterback and a more established quarterback to compete. And Lincoln Riley felt that the room was good enough the way it is, that there's a lot of good football ahead of Jaden Maiava, and Miller Moss has shown some great things, and you know that he feels that they can be good with those guys and that they'll have a competition. My guess is that it's going to be Miller Moss's, it's going to be Miller Moss's job to lose, but I mean, who knows? We'll see kind of what happens, but you probably know the Las Vegas situation better. It seems like Maiava did some really good things, freshman all Mountain West, but from what, and I think you mentioned this last week on the show, and from what I was told, probably not Big Ten ready. And so this, you know, he can say that it's a competition, but my guess is it's going to be Miller Moss. I don't know what you think about that, but.
Well, I would think that he deserved that as a new quarterback comes in, which is fine. And I think competition is great, but I don't know what else you have to do than what he did in their bowl game that he's the number one quarterback. And the only way he's going to lose his position if he messes it up. I just think he should go into camp with that attitude and a leadership and the team rally around him, because he couldn't have had a better game or audition than he did in the Holiday Bowl. That's all I'm saying. I would be very careful on the words I use as far as the way kids feel. As far as, what? Are you kidding me? How can, you know what I mean? What do they expect? That type of thing.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying there, Coach. Okay. Well, anything else on the, we have a couple questions, voicemail questions for you, but anything else on what we heard from the press conference you wanted to address?
No, nothing. Everything is great. I am very impressed with the coaches. That's basically what I wanted to say. The way the defensive coaches explained who they were, what they're there for, the purpose, why they came and where they want to go and what they need to do on defense.
Yeah. A couple of quick notes just before we get into the questions. I know USC is not the Pac-12 anymore, or the Pac-2, whatever you want, but George Kliavkov is now going to be out as of March 1st, so he won't be around anymore. And they did make their hire. I forget. So it was one of the assistants. Let me. Teresa Gould. She's going to take over as the commissioner of the Pac-2. Congrats to her. And, you know, obviously that's just Washington State and Oregon State at this point. It'll be officially, everyone's gone. I believe it's August 1st is the like kind of date there, but she'll be, you know, the board for the Pac-12 is only Washington State and Oregon State right now. They do have to let the other presidents and chancellors know when they make a big move, but they are in control of everything. They're bringing her in. And so Kliavkov will be out. There was some sort of negotiated settlement that they didn't, because I think he still had a couple years left on his deal. But, you know, what, 3 years on the job and the destruction of the conference? Not that not blaming George, but he was dealt a bad hand and made it worse. So the conference is now dead. And we have some other news. She was from UNLV, Desiree Reed Francois. She is now going to be the athletic director at the University of Arizona, where she's a graduate. And she was at UNLV, and then Missouri, I believe. And her name came up in the USC search before they hired Jen Cohen. But she's going to Arizona, which may be surprising, go to the SEC, to the Big 12. But she's an alum and maybe coming home. But I don't know if you have any thoughts on that or if you ran into her at all when she was at UNLV, Coach.
Oh, yeah, I did. I've spoken to her many times, and she went to the Southeastern Conference, and I thought that'd be a good move for her. I mean, from UNLV, she got a nice move, Southeastern Conference. They had a great football season this year. I was surprised. Surprised she would go to the University of Arizona. You know, she's a, I guess she got her law degree from there. But she's moved around a lot in the last 10 years, so I don't know where she's headed. I didn't know she was up for the USC AD-ship. She was up, I know, when Martin Jarman got the UCLA AD-ship. She was up for that, too. But, yeah, she's going to U of A. And there's always reasons you bring in a new athletic director. There's something like $100 million in the hole.
Yeah.
So you just wonder what her assignment is going to be. Cutting back on everything, fundraising, hatchet person, who knows? But when you bring in somebody, when you interview them, you sometimes say in your interview, how are you going to correct this? And it's going to be interesting to see how they do that going into the Big 12.
Yeah, for sure. Just, I mean, it's weird too because, you know, you hire Brent Brennan, then you fire the AD. And bring in a new AD.
That's not good. That's not healthy.
Yeah, you got a new, you have a new AD and a new head coach, and the new AD didn't bring in the new head coach. So it's going to be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But I know USC is not going to be part, but it's still a team that the Trojans have played. And just because her name did come up, at least what we had heard, like she was a potential candidate for the USC job. So yeah, so a little kind of news in the West Coast football footprint that we want to share with you. All right, here's our first voicemail for you, Coach.
Hi, this is Curtis. And I hear gumbo offense. We're talking about the USC gumbo offense again. Okay, well, since you brought it up and we're really jokingly talking about it, the gumbo offense won us a Rose Bowl and a Pac-12 championship in back-to-back seasons with Sam Darnold, Juju Smith-Schuster, Ronald Jones, sprinkle in a Dory Jackson, and a cast of others. We had just enough offense and defense to win a title and win a Rose Bowl. Those are the last two that we won, and you're laughing about it? Oh, Curtis from Moreno Valley.
Curtis,
well,
I
don't know what he's referring to.
So I think we talked about this on one of the other shows, maybe not with you, Coach, but I was, I think we had mentioned the gumbo offense. It wasn't very good, Curtis. They had a lot of talent and won the Rose Bowl. That was great. There were other bad years around that and immediately after that as well. It wasn't a good offense. It wasn't sustainable. You had a generational type quarterback with Sam Darnold and all and the talent that was there. And you got some results, but a lot of it was just him sort of improvising as opposed to an actual offensive scheme. I think if you watched what happened in the Holiday Bowl, that was good offensive scheme. That's what it looks like. And it resulted in 6 touchdown passes for Miller Moss. So sorry, didn't like the comments about the, you know, because you have a fond memory of 1 year, but for you look at the average offense for that, it was underperforming, I would say. But I don't know. Whatever your thoughts are, Coach.
Well, I have to say that most of the offense was Sam Darnold making big plays. He made some tremendous plays, just like Caleb Williams made a lot of plays. A lot of those plays, as I say, weren't necessarily called. They just made them happen. and he was a great leader, and they got it done, and that Rose Bowl victory was unbelievable. I almost fell out of the press box when it happened. And I can't remember who the offensive coordinator was then. I don't know. I can't remember exactly. I don't want to comment on it because I can't remember. But I don't know if I call that the 31 flavor offense or not.
I think you did. Yeah.
Yeah. We just pick a play and let it go. But they did win, and they did win a Rose Bowl game. And I think it had, I don't want to compare them both, but a little bit of the both, okay, of what we're doing now and what we did then, except maybe not as, I don't know. I can't remember it. I'd have to look it up.
All right. And then I mentioned earlier that we had a voicemail that was too long. It was like 3 minutes long. I sent the voicemailer a text message, and he sent a shorter one. It's about a minute and a half. So we'll play this one and let you know. I haven't listened to it yet, Coach, but I'll play it for you and get your thoughts. Here you go.
Hi, Ryan. I think my last voicemail was too long, so I'll just make this one a bit quicker. I guess there's two questions I have. Is why is it taking 15 years for the Board of Trustees at USC to figure out how to get the football program right? Why is it taking 15 years since 2009 with Pete Carroll? Don't we have to start looking at the Board of Trustees? Who's on it, and why are they incompetent? Because it's not just the football program that had issues. It was the health department. It was different schools of academic. It was internal scandals. The second question I have is, why do we keep on hiring coaches like Lincoln Riley and Clay Helton when you guys ask good questions like, what is going on with the defense? And they're looking at you when you ask these questions and saying, oh, we're going to get it right. We're going to get it right. When everybody else except Lincoln Riley or Clay Helton knew that the defense wasn't right. And why is it taking Lincoln Riley two different jobs at Oklahoma and SC to figure this out, to finally get it right? Head coaches don't take that long. When you ask Nick Saban a question, he's going to give you a real good answer, say, hey, our defense is not right. We're not getting it right. And we need to make changes. Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma, 5 years, USC, 3 years, 8 years to figure it out. I don't think he's going to do well in the Big Ten at all. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Coach, what do you think?
Well, I start out by saying, it takes too long to get it right. And I see you say the Regents. I don't know if it's the Regents. I think it's them not knowing what they're doing and too many people on the committees and so on that trying to make decisions because they want to be a part of something they shouldn't be a part of. Normally you have an athletic director that knows college football and knows athletics. It's been around and experienced where if you're going to have an opening or you're going to have it make a change, you already know who the head football coach is going to be, or you're already thinking about who the head football coach is going to be, or you already know who fit USC perfectly. And I don't think in the past they had a clue. It was a period of time there, I think, when Pat Hayden was the AD, where they tried to get away from the tradition of what the Ed Orgerons and Davis and college football was all about, and they want to make it like a real college experience. They decided to change a lot of things, drop the San Gabriel Trojan Club, the San Fernando Trojan Club, the Salute to Troy on the way they used to do that. They were changing everything. They wanted too many changes when it wasn't broken. They all had their genius ideas of who should be doing what and how they eliminated Mike Garrett from his athletic directorship and brought in another athletic director who had never at all been an athletic director and is going to run the athletic program, and a college president that, that should listen to whoever is hired as the athletic director to follow the lead of this athletic director as far as keeping the programs going to the level of what's expected as far as the tradition at USC. Which didn't happen. A lot of poor decisions were made during those period of times as far as sharing of revenue and all of the other things, the hiring of a new commissioner, the Pac-12 network being formed, the sanctions they went on without fighting it or sticking up, the Heisman Trophy being returned. I mean, all these type of things happening with not really any real recourse or support from the administration or athletic director or that part of the support staff of USC, with the support of the president and the regents, fighting for what they are and who they are, and not giving in to, yeah, we better not do this, we better not do that. So that went through a period of about 5, 6, maybe 8 years between Hayden and Swan. And then they sort of went in the tank and brought people back in that and eliminated a lot of the SC look around campus. I mean, coaches from everywhere in the country but USC or Southern California. And again, the tradition got farther away from what it was all about on the open practices. And when Ron Yeary came to practice or somebody came to practice, the gates were open for them and they were introduced to the team and all of the above, the great tradition portion of USC Trojan football. And I think all of this took effect. The out-of-state recruiting and not the local treatment of the local coaches the way they should have been treated. And players and coaches were coming in and stealing players from Southern California to go to the Big Ten and the Big Eight and all these the Big 12 and all these other conferences around the country. Well, that should have never been allowed to happen if you had the tradition and the coaches and the recruiting and the local relationships between the high school coaches and the coaches that were recruiting for USC being maybe known because they're local coaches and so on. So it's been a big fight back as far as getting back to where they were, and you don't do that overnight because it was damaged so hard. People were recruiting the areas. Oregon now built up a strong recruiting force and a great football program. Washington has developed their football program. The Pac-12 is a much more diversified football program than before, when the face of the Pac-12 was USC Trojan football and athletics. But I wasn't sure that that's what the university wanted, and the regents, they're all doing their job, but they don't all know what's best for a school in every single aspect of a school. And sometimes they start getting too involved and then they really don't know anything. So I think that's the biggest problems that happen with the athletic department. And I think Lincoln Riley came to USC, but never anticipated the difference between Norman, Oklahoma and Los Angeles, California, as far as not being the only show in town. You're not the only show in town, and you have to learn to compete against that buck, and you have to bleed cardinal and gold. You can't talk about what we did in Oklahoma. You can't talk about all your Oklahoma people. You talk about cardinal and gold, and you talk about all of those things, and the past is history. And I think that needs to be established again as far as in the athletic department and on the football program.
Yeah, well said, Coach. A few quick thoughts. Yeah, I don't know about the Board of Trustees, a lot about them. If you're on the Board of Trustees and you want to email me and fill me in, feel free, ryan@uscfootball.com. But I think there was poor leadership across the board. I think the Board of Trustees, from what I was told, was just too big, kind of just club, and they really weren't doing much. And you had a bad leader in the president of the university. You had bad, you know, direction from the Board of Trustees. You had bad athletic directors. You had there was no checks and balances. There's just poor leadership everywhere. And you needed some of those to be good to kind of fix the other ones. Like, it didn't matter if you had a bad AD or a bad Board of Trustees when you had Pete Carroll as the head coach, because he was really good. But you had bad everything at every level, at the high levels, and no one was fixing anything. So I think that's the biggest problem. But he keeps mentioning, he's did this in other voicemails too. You can't mention Clay Helton and Lincoln Riley the same sentence. If you want to say Lincoln Riley is not Nick Saban and isn't a national championship caliber head coach, I'll listen to you. Okay, I mean, we'll see. But he's not, there's no comparison to Clay Helton. I mean, just the resume alone, you just can't do that. Like, you, maybe you aren't French Laundry, the, you know, greatest restaurant in the country or whatever, but you're still, Lincoln Riley's still like a one Michelin star, maybe not a three Michelin star coach. You can say, okay, he's not Nick Saban, but he's not Applebee's, where you're trying to compare him to that. And it's just not the case. So I'll listen to anything if you say he's not going to give you a national championship. You could be right. I'm not sure. But he's not Clay Helton. You just can't say those two names in the same sentence and have me take you seriously. So that's my thoughts there, Coach.
Well, no, I would say there are two different packages, okay? Clay Helton was put in a position to become the head football coach at USC. I can't blame him for that. It's a dream that comes true, but again, that goes back to the administration hiring him, so you can't blame him. He became a very rich man and had a dream come true. Now, that didn't work. Now, the next situation, you have another head football coach, and you bring him in with the expectations of what you're looking for is you're not going to get Nick Saban. But again, you bring in somebody with the idea and the understanding of what is expected at USC, and you bring in Lincoln Riley, who had a great track record at Oklahoma. I mean, has won a lot of football games, developed a lot of Heisman Trophy winners, and so on. Now you got to wait and see. Except you wait and see what he does at USC. He's not Nick Saban, but he's still young. You know, people understand he's still a young guy and he's still learning the game of football. And no one ever knows it all, and he'll figure it out. And he knows this. Players are the name of the game, and every year he'll learn more about the game and working with people and recruiting and the whole package. But that's what it's all about. And I'm not telling you I know more than he does, hardly. But I'm saying in the game of football, you want people surrounding you that know more than you do in as many areas as you possibly can. That way you have more support and you have more minds and brains and eyes and ears than anyone else. And I think that's something that you have to be able to do. And change is something you can't fight. Change is something that you have to adjust to every single game, every single year, to the changes that are happening in the world, including college football.
All right, Coach. Well, great stuff. Really fun doing the show with you. Again, don't think you have a lot to talk about. We go like 50-something minutes. So great stuff, everyone. Check out the Coach at Coach Harvey Hyde, or go to harveyhyde.com for all of his content. Hope you guys all enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by uscfootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.